Today on Real Radio.
Paul is telling Timothy, listen, your men that are around you, as they stand in rank, fighting the devil, the works of the enemy, the works of the world and of the non-believers, they also have behind them the church in which they pastor over. And in a real way, the person or people, the man who shepherds the church of God and wherever he is, he stands between heaven and hell in a way. He stands in a place absolutely up on the hill so everybody can take shots at him. And it happens every day.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We'll be looking at the last 9 verses of chapter 5. Remember, Timothy was partially of Jewish descent and pastor of a local assembly of believers. And so, as Timothy's mentor, Paul dispenses nuggets of wisdom in his correspondence. That's why our teacher has titled this presentation, The Proverbs of Paul to Timothy. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I hope you haven't found this book dry at all. It's been so instructive to me personally. And as we go through it, we're studying the principles and the mandates of God concerning the church. And I would like you to just realize, and for myself always to be reminded, that whatever we do in this body, in any capacity, if it's an outing, you know, if it's a little get-together, if it's a home Bible study, or if it's like what we do here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, it needs to be done, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Are the things that we're doing just maybe man's wisdom, or are they things that have been laid out by God in His holy word? And I would like to think that everything we do here is in the word of God and founded there. We strive to have that ground as we minister to you. And we actually comb over the word of God to see to it that the things that we do are right. Our board meetings are conducted the way we feel Scripture mandates. Our worship, us standing and going through reading like we do, all scriptural. The handling of church finances, how we deal with people on a day-to-day process in church discipline, all we believe can be found in Scripture. And we're very cautious about that. And I understand that there are people, and come on, let's not fool anybody here. There are those that name the name of Christ, they call themselves Christians, and they don't really want anything to do with the way God does things. They've got their own opinion, they've got their own idea, and it's not good. If we're a church, if we're flying the banner of Jesus Christ over our head, then what we do needs to be rooted and grounded in Bible truth. And I would simply entitle this message, The Proverbs of Paul to Timothy. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and chapter 6, it's a lot of do's and don'ts and how to do this and not to do that and really prerequisites. And we need to just put on our little hat right now of learning. And we started last week and we went through the protocol or the layout of how we deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ, first of all, in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, how we deal towards the flock. Older men, older women, younger women, younger men. And he laid it out there that it really needs to be one that's done in love. And then we saw also in Timothy 5, verses 3 to 16, our relationship towards widows and the widow's relationship towards the church. And I don't know about you, but weren't you blessed to find out that it's just not for those that have had spouses depart and go to be with the Lord? But it's a woman who's desolate. Maybe left alone for many reasons. And it gives us a great encouragement. We went over the statistics about how the day is rapidly coming where that be a great majority in the church breaks our heart. But it's true that there are so many broken homes. And so our text before us this morning is 1 Timothy 5, starting at verse 17. And this portion of Scripture deals with the relationship between the elders and the pastor and the church itself. And like I said earlier, it is with chagrin that many churches do not conduct themselves biblically these days. And it's sad, but very true. As we look at this, we'll read it, and then we'll come back and dissect it. In verse 17, Paul picks up his message to Timothy by saying to him, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle the ox which treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages.' Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. And those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hid." All right, this portion of Scripture that we're looking at is broken up into four different categories. If you're taking notes, in verses 17 to 18, it's the respect of the office. And boy, that's needed this day and age in which we live. You know, we kind of feel like we're just scratching and crawling to get up to zero, you know, because of the things that have been portrayed in the world and the very little or the lack thereof of respect concerning the office of an elder. And then in verses 19 to 20, it's the honor due to the office. In verses 21 to 20, the accountability of the office. And then in verses 24 to 25, the outcome of all of these things as we minister. The outcome. And I've got to say right now, those of you who have been going to church here for a while, you know that we go verse by verse. I am not plugging for self-promotion here as we go through this, so we don't have to worry about it, okay? So just for the record, we're going through the Bible, not my personal wish list, okay? So Paul, in his beautiful, pointed, straightforward way, as we'll see this morning, he says clearly to Timothy, "Let the elders," and Paul is speaking to Pastor Tim, and he's saying, "Timothy, your elders, those that are ruling underneath you, and by the way, Timothy, those that are ruling in other pastorates around the community and the countryside, this be a mandate to you, Timothy. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor." And what he's simply saying here is that word "rule" can also be translated "stand before in rank." As the elders stand up and take their call to pastor or to lead the church of God, those who labor, those who war the good Christian fight, are worthy of a double portion or double honor. And the term here is a military term, and I want to paint this picture for you. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, your men that are around you, as they stand in rank, fighting the devil, the works of the enemy, the works of the world and of the non-believers, they also have behind them the church in which they pastor over. And in a real way, the person or people, the man who shepherds the church of God and wherever he is, he stands between heaven and hell in a way. He stands in a place absolutely up on the hill so everybody can take shots at him. And it happens every day. And sometimes you hear about it and sometimes you don't, but it happens every day because we fight against a very good devil and he's skilled at what he does. And so what Paul is saying to Timothy here is, let the elders who are they? It's those who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. They're standing in rank, and that word "well" means to be morally upright. They're standing there. And that's a hard place. Because at the very best, men in the ministry are mere men and nothing more. Our judgment will be greater? Yes, God says so. We're accountable for more? What I say to you, God says you better do. Somebody told me a long time ago, you know, when you preach, and I totally disagree with this, when you preach, you need to preach above where you're at. Well, you know what? I disagree with that. Maybe I didn't understand what the man was saying. But you know what? If God calls us to preach a message to you, we had better be in our hearts striving to that point if we're not there. You know what I'm saying? We need to be striving with all the tenacity we have in the Spirit. And we'll get into what Paul says in this in a moment. But we need to be those who are standing in rank, and the picture's this. We're up on a pedestal, not in loftiness. But the enemy's going to shoot at us. He's going to bite at us. The Bible says he's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And so we stand there and we fight against the enemy. And then the church, quite often, as we'll see later on, is nipping sometimes at our own heels. We're getting our Levi's torn this way and our chin torn this way. And it's an absolute fact in the ministry. If you're going to stand for righteousness, you are not going to be usually well liked, even by Christians. And so what Paul is saying to Timothy is he's actually making a statement of support to protect the pastors and the elders that rule in a body. He says, let the elders who rule well, they need to rule well, not rule poorly. Before I became a pastor, I honestly thought that you spoke, you know, Thursday nights and Sunday mornings, maybe Sunday nights. You golfed about 3 times a week. And, you know, you drive around making all these guest appearances everywhere. And maybe you even write a book, you know. Man, I know, and I know how you feel. You sit there, and one guy last week said, so what do you do during the week? Nothing. I just kind of wait for Wednesday to come around and Sunday. But the minister's labor takes place privately more often than not. And I want you to remember this. If you forget everything else, remember this. We fight an adversary that you can't see. And when I go home from here, or when I'm locked away and you come by and the door says, don't disturb studying, you know? Well, he's probably in there sleeping. Hey, you know what? Even when we look to be alone, we're never alone. We're fighting. We're fighting emotions. We're fighting thoughts. I'll go home and I'll sit there. And the worst thing, honey, that you can say is, how was your day? I'm trying to forget my day. More often than not, I'm trying to forget my day. I don't want to think about my day. Why? Because I'm always thinking about my day. I'm always thinking about it. When you're at home watching TV, you're not thinking about the TV. You're not thinking about what you're watching. When you're out, you know, somebody might see me planting roses or something. What are you thinking about? More often than not, I'm thinking about a problem between a family and another family, or a husband and a wife. There's never a day off. In the emotional, in the spiritual part, there's always that warring that takes place. And we need to stand between heaven and hell, between the devil and his people, if we're really going to take this call serious. And if you're considering the ministry, you need to take that into consideration. You need to count the cost. And I believe that when God calls a man into the ministry, he calls a woman into the ministry, the pastor's wife and the pastor's family, who ultimately pay, I think, the most costly price of all. A.W. Tozer put it this way. He says, Satan's plan is never to kill the man of God, but to pervert him, causing the greatest damage to all. Amy Carmichael said this, the work will never go deeper than we have gone ourselves with Christ, those who teach. Isn't that true? It's absolutely true. And Paul the Apostle put it better than anybody. He says in Romans 15, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not first worked in me, that the Gentiles may come to Jesus. Isn't that good? You may think this is a death wish, but it comes with the territory. When you begin to minister as an elder, as a pastor, you begin to pray, Father God in heaven, this message that you're pouring over my soul, God, live it out in my life. When you come to verses about suffering, Lord, me. Speak to me. Use me. Show me. And I got to tell you that sometimes because of my lack of faith, I'll pray that and I'll cringe. I have a duty to pray that prayer. Lord, we're talking about ruling the house of God correctly. Oh God, make me to rule the house of God correctly. And so God begins his work. And we don't ever want to come to the ministry up to the podium with some cute little thing that God hasn't first worked in our lives or is working in our lives. And so he says, men that are like this, men who are laboring in the word of God, are worthy of double honor. Why? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, remember, be considerate, think of those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. So they better be speaking the word of God to you. Whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey the rule of those over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who will give an account for you. That's a heavy thought. It's absolutely true. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Paul says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Isn't that interesting? And I say this, and I got to tell you, I feel kind of weird even saying it, but Scripture is absolutely Scripture, and I'm not going to water it down at all. The word is labor. Kapeo in the Greek, it means this, those that are toiling, to work until fatigued, to labor until you feel it in the Word of God. Because Timothy goes on to say there in verse 17, he says, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. They're to labor in the word and in doctrine. Why? Because there's false doctrine. Because people are prone to get off into places that they ought not to go to. The pastor needs to be laboring in word and in doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And that word study means to put forth an earnest effort of labor, to toil, and to come to the point of exhaustion in study of the word of God, which in a way is a tremendous joy anyway. So he goes on to say there, in verse 18, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his wages. Now, Paul is not calling me an ox or any pastor, but what he is saying is this. God commanded in Deuteronomy 25:4 that when the ox is treading out the grain, you're not to muzzle the ox. You're not to put that, looks like a catcher's mask on his face. You're to let him eat of his labor. And as they went around and around and around on that stone platform, pulling this gigantic plank that's curved up on one end, on the leading end, embedded with rocks and bones, it would separate the wheat from the chaff and the stalk. And as these poor oxen went around and around and around, God commanded, don't muzzle the ox. Let him eat as much as he wants. Why? He's the one doing the work. He's the one laboring, getting the fruit for you guys, getting the wheat. And so don't muzzle him. And so the principle is this. As the pastor is grueling over the word of God, and I look at it this way, people, and ladies, maybe you can kind of relate to this, and some guys, it's like preparing a meal, and there's nothing more frustrating than for you to be pulling something out to cook, and you don't have the utensil, or you don't have that certain spice, and you got to run around and get it. Listen, when you're preparing the Word of God, you're pulling in spices, you're pulling in things, and you're preparing a meal for the people. And we are to receive, according to the Bible, what is due. In fact, double honor is what is mentioned here. And so, this word double honor, it means this. It means the pastor that's laboring in the Word of God ought to be free from the cares of this life. If you have a pastor at your church, wherever you go, if he's getting, and I know of a church where this recently, well, this has been the case for 13 years until recently, They paid the guy about $600 a month. He had five kids. And that was, and he worked part, he worked full-time at another job. And the people of the church this last winter began to slam him because the church wasn't growing. We've been here 13 years. What's the deal? And I know this man. He labors to the point of exhaustion. He's absolutely committed to the Word of God. He loves his sheep. And as he's going through the Word of God, there's no appreciation. And he comes up there, and the guy's thrashed on Sundays. He's thrashed on Wednesday nights. He's absolutely depleted. And so a relative of mine called me and said, you know, boy, things are really happening bad here, you know. And I, well, what's the story? And she began to tell me the story, and I got very angry. And I talked to a couple people, and I said, you need to be paying this guy. You guys need to vote right now so that it's in the books, and you start paying this man what's due to him. It's unscriptural what's going on there. He works hard, and you need to pay him for it. The Bible, double honor, suggests that the man ought not to be concerned, gee, can I make my house payment? Okay, can I make this? Can I feed my kids? He's supposed to be free from those thoughts. Why? To focus on the Word of God, to focus on God's people. And it doesn't mean that he drives a Rolls Royce or 10 of them. I heard of a pastor who was given a Rolls Royce by a fellowship. And the guy came out, they said, look! And he came out of his study and he says, I'd rather see it in blue seats. Well, I can't get like this in front of you all. The Bible suggests that the man who labors in the Word of God ought to be taken care of. And J. Vernon McGee puts it like only J. Vernon McGee can in his commentary on this. Go look it up. It's precious. He says, in the early church, the church paid well those that taught well. And those that taught even better, they were paid a little better. And you can't argue. That's the meaning of the word. That's the meaning. When somebody comes to guest speak, by the way, we have some excellent guest speakers coming. You pay them. They're worthy of their labor. It's scriptural. But this man there was not being paid. He was absolutely taxed. And I got angry with these people, and I told them what I thought about it. And they stepped out in faith, and they voted, and they said, we're going to start paying you what it takes for you to quit your job. And they didn't even have the money coming in. Are you with me? Guess what happened? That church went from 73 people, $1,000 a month, to $1,000 a week, and now they're up to about 150 people in about 2 months, and they've been, 70 people is the most they've ever had in 13 years, and now things are booming there, and they're in Utah, and that's a hard place to minister, and they're growing because they stepped out and obeyed the Word of God. And that's a precious thing. Listen, you don't muzzle the ox that treads out the grain, treads out the corn. That ox is to be fed so we can keep going.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the last nine verses of 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul dispenses nuggets of wisdom in his correspondence to young Timothy, who is pastor of a local assembly of believers. It's a presentation called The Proverbs of Paul to Timothy. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, let us know if Real Radio is making a difference in your life. It's easy to do so. Just call, click, or write. For instance, you can visit us at realradioactive.org and click where it says Send Us a Message. Just a few words of encouragement is all it takes. realradioactive.org. Here's our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can do it the traditional way. Write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of that information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.